You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and if this is the first time that you've joined us, welcome. Here's the deal. I'm an OBGYN doctor in Wisconsin who ran for Congress during the last cycle, so I have kind of a unique perspective on healthcare, the struggles that most of us are experiencing all across the country, and how deeply intertwined healthcare and politics have become, especially when it comes down to reproductive healthcare. That's my specialty. But also all of the social determinants of healthcare. You know, when you think about affordable housing and healthy food and a stable climate, all of that stuff contributes to our health. We don't usually think about those things in terms of health, but they have an impact. And as a result, your health is political, and that's why we have to care. We have to pay attention to what's happening in politics, both in our own communities and in other places that influence the greater conversation. And Wisconsin, possibly the most closely divided swing state, is key to that conversation. Here in Wisconsin, we are in the middle of something that we haven't seen in 15 years, a wide open race for governor. No incumbent, no clear front runner, and the stakes couldn't be higher. Not just for Wisconsin, but really for the entire country. Back in July, Governor Tony Evers, America's favorite grandpa, announced that he will not seek a third term. And within 24 hours, the floodgates opened. Right now, we have 8 Democrats vying for that nomination. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez was the first out of the gate. State Senator Kelda Royce from Madison. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. State Rep Francesca Hong. Former State Rep Brett Halsey. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes just declared. And my guest today, former WEDC CEO, that's a lot of letters, Missy Hughes. And by the way, you can check out our past episodes because I've already talked with Sarah Rodriguez and Kelda Royce and Francesca Hong, all very different interviews and a great way to get to know these folks who are running to be Wisconsin's next governor. And in an effort to be thorough, I should also mention that on the Republican side, there are 2 gentlemen who are running. We've got U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany and Washington County exec Josh Shulman. Both are running as strong Donald Trump allies. So that's the situation. And again, why this matters beyond Wisconsin, we are the battleground state. Trump won here in 2016 by less than a point. Biden won it in 2020 by less than a point. And in 2024, guess what? Trump won it by less than a point. We are the state with the closest presidential margin in the country. And whoever wins this governor's race will be steering Wisconsin through the 2028 presidential cycle. This is one of only 5 Democratic-held governorships that's up for grabs in 2026 in states that were won by Donald Trump. The entire country is watching Wisconsin once again. And what happens here in November will shape reproductive rights, healthcare access, voting rights, public education, and whether we can build an economy that works for working families or if we're going to continue to fall behind. The Democratic primary is August 11th. It's late. The general election, as you all know, is that first Tuesday in November, the 3rd. And between now and then, I'm going to make sure that Wisconsin voters know exactly who these candidates are and what they stand for. And having said all of that, I am thrilled today to talk with Missy Hughes. She's the former Organic Valley executive. Organic Valley, my favorite string cheese and many other products. She's the former CEO of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation. She is a sheep farmer. She has run marathons, and she's somebody who says she's not a politician. And that's the whole point. Welcome, Missy Hughes.
Thank you so much, Kristen. It's so exciting to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you because you're not a politician. Is that what people are looking for right now?
Well, I've never run for office before. And I think what that really means to Wisconsinites and what I intend it to mean is I don't necessarily feel that we're wearing red shirts and blue shirts. I don't operate my daily life in a way that says I want you to win or I want me to win and you to lose. I'm trying to find wins for Wisconsin and wins for Wisconsinites. And so I think when we think about politicians, we think about gamesmanship and we think one-upsmanship. That's not my story. I'm much more of a collaborator and a cooperator than I am a competitor. I love to win. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, you know, when everybody wins. And that's kind of how I've always led my life. And that's what I bring to this effort to be the next governor for the state of Wisconsin.
A rising tide lifts all boats, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have this amazing job and this amazing life. Why would you put all that aside to throw your hat into the ring in this crazy race for Wisconsin governor at this crazy time in our nation's history?
You know, when Governor Evers announced in July that he was not going to run for re-election, I saw an opportunity to bring my skills and my experience in building economies, in helping Wisconsin businesses expand to the governor's office. And, you know, I wanted to really keep the momentum that we have seen over the past few years of the Wisconsin economy growing and growing and businesses growing and being successful, people moving to Wisconsin. There's so much opportunity here, and I felt like I could easily step into the governor's office and be able to provide the ongoing support for Wisconsinites that I've been able to do. Now, stepping into the office seems like it would be easy, but it involves this long primary and, election process. And so we're going through that right now, and it's exciting. I'm learning new things every day and meeting with folks and having great conversations. But, you know, at its heart, I want to help Wisconsin's economy continue to grow so that folks have access to good jobs right in their communities and everything else that they need, like childcare and healthcare, good education. These are the things that Wisconsinites want close to home.
Mm-hmm. You are so right. And we are definitely going to talk about some of these victories that you really have seeded in this state as the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. But before we talk about that, who is Missy Hughes? You're not from Wisconsin, girl. Where did you grow up? Tell us about your background.
I know. Well, I grew up right outside of New York City, 20 miles outside of New York City. Literally, you could get on a train and in 22 minutes, you'd be at Grand Central. But I grew up in a small community, even though, you know, it was right near New York. My parents were both doctors. My mom, Kristen, was one of the first graduates from Columbia Medical School, first woman graduate from Columbia Medical School. She was an allergist, and my dad was a urologist. They built the local community hospital, and I saw in them a dedication to public service, and that's why I think why I've ended up in this seat now. But went to college and left New York and made a big zigzag around the country. I went to law school in Wyoming, met my husband in Wyoming, and then our three kids were born in Colorado, and we brought them here more than 20 years ago to raise them out in the western side of the state in the beautiful Driftless area. And here we are. Today, we live about 5 miles outside of Viroqua on 100 acres with sheep and four dogs and two donkeys and a lot of snow right now.
So yeah. Do you think, you're right, the Driftless area is stunning. For those of you who are not familiar, the Driftless area is the area that was not touched by the last glacier. So it is very hilly and beautiful. And there are a lot of small farms and it's just, there is a whole vibe there. But it's very different than the population centers in Wisconsin. Do you see living in Viroqua as an advantage in this race, or is it a disadvantage? I'm sure there's a little bit of both.
It's definitely an advantage all the way. Uh-huh. But, you know, what I would say is I have the opportunity living here in Viroqua to really understand what rural Democrats are looking for. I've spent 17 years working for farmers, so I know how to talk to farmers. I've been in the dairy industry, so I'm really connected to the land when it comes to understanding what people are looking for from their government. Jump over to Madison and Milwaukee. I've done a ton of work in both of those cities in the last 6 years, especially in Milwaukee, working with companies like Fiserv and Milwaukee Tool to bring their businesses downtown, but also working really in the underserved communities, the up-and-coming communities that, are like thousands of small businesses that are excited to grow. I've worked a ton in Green Bay. So I've worked all over the state. Living here in Western Wisconsin has been great. But it's added a lot of miles to my car while I've had to drive around as secretary, and I loved every moment of it.
Can we just take a little sidebar and talk about the Driftless Cafe, one of my favorite places in the world to eat? I love that place because it's such a little treasure. Are you familiar with Luke Zahm?
All three of my kids worked at the Driftless Cafe. And Luke and Ruthie are amazing friends of mine. But I love that. I love that you love the Driftless Cafe. But really, it means so much to me because my kids all learned how to work there. Mm-hmm. And they learned that, in a small business, you got to show up. You got to show up on time. You have to take care of every customer and every, diner and your fellow employees. Like, they learned hard work. And that's what I love about small businesses. Like, you didn't expect this answer, but this is what I love about the Driftless Cafe. It's just amazing. And Luke and Ruthie are incredible. I mean, the food, of course, for everybody who's listening, you should all go to the Driftless Cafe because the food is so incredible. But they're incredible, incredible leaders in our community, business leaders, and they're second parents to my kids.
And I just have to share that Ruthie is an OB nurse by training. And so when I was a resident in Madison, Ruthie was one of the night nurses who trained me. And that was fun.
I bet you got good training from Ruthie.
Oh, she's a personality. She trained me in a lot of things that I wasn't expecting. Yes.
For sure. Yeah. She is a great friend. I love her dearly.
Yes. Agree. So briefly, before we go to our first break here, talk to me about what it's like to be a sheep farmer. That is very different than the rest of what we know about Missy Hughes.
Oh, my dear friends from Organic Valley bought a sheep cheese making farm. It's Hidden Springs Creamery. They make amazing, it's called Driftless Cheese. If you see it in the store, you should buy it. But they have a whole sheep herd, right? They milk the sheep for the milk to make the cheese. And they had extra sheep that they wanted to have grazing on pasture because that's really important. So 70 sheep come to my farm every summer and hang out. There are rams there, so they do get pregnant while they're on my farm. Uh-huh. And they eat the grass. They take care of my soil. There's two donkeys there to protect them. And it's just incredible to see how different land is when it has animals on it. And it's truly like you hear this word bucolic, and then you see the little sheep out there and you're like, oh, that's what bucolic is. So I go out and I talk with them and feed them treats and talk with the donkeys. It's fantastic. I love it.
Well, that is one thing that sets you apart, Missy Hughes, in your quest to become Wisconsin's next governor. Friends, I'm talking with Missy Hughes. She's the former head of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation. We've talked about some of the basics of her campaign. When we return, we're going to talk about the economy and how she is uniquely positioned to lead on this always crucial issue. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, streaming all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media app and the Civic Media Radio Network, and of course, in Chicago on AM 820 WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk. And don't forget, YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. Like, subscribe, hit the bell, and comment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm talking with Missy Hughes. She is a candidate for Wisconsin governor, and she's the former head of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation, WEDC. In our last segment, we covered who she is, why she's running to be Wisconsin's next governor, but now let's focus in on the economy, because everybody cares about this. This is that issue that no matter what the cycle is, it always comes down to the economy. And Missy, this is your forte.
You know, it's really true. I have studied Wisconsin's economy and worked in Wisconsin's economy for the last 6 years. But even before that, as I worked with the farmers at Organic Valley, I really understood their businesses. I understood what they were trying to accomplish and taking their amazing products to the market. Thank you for loving the string cheese.
Oh, it's
and
so
my husband still works for Organic Valley, so you're supporting the family. So thank you. But, you know, it's fascinating. The Wisconsin economy is incredibly, incredibly diverse. Of course, we think about dairy, right? That's a $55 billion economy. But then you have all of agriculture, which in aggregate, including dairy, is $115 billion, like massive, massive industries. And then we have manufacturing, we have healthcare, we have all these other pieces of the puzzle, including the tourism, just so many different facets. And so when you think about all of the different types of businesses that are involved in that, whether it's, you know, small Main Street businesses, or our massive, you know, Milwaukee Tools or Kikkoman's. We just have a whole range of businesses. And the challenge and opportunity there is to think about what do those businesses need to succeed? Because when businesses succeed, the people who are working there succeed. The owners of the businesses succeed. So it's really important to think about making sure that we are creating a place where folks have the education that they need to work for these businesses, that our business owners have the resources they need when they're thinking about marketing or financial planning, and our big businesses have access to the skilled labor and the skilled workers that they need in order to be successful. So it is a really complicated puzzle, but it's fascinating, and there's so much going on all across the state.
You have so much passion in your voice as you're talking about this. I just love the energy that's coming out of you right now. I have to tell you, I talked to your successor today. We were texting back and forth, John W. Miller, who has just taken over this role. And here's what he said. First of all, he called himself a huge fan. And then he offered this. The core of Missy's work at the WEDC was creating good-paying jobs. It sounds simple, but there cannot be prosperity unless people have sound jobs with good benefits. So luring companies to Wisconsin and helping companies already in Wisconsin expand is the first step to any functional economy. And it sounds simple, but it's not, is it?
No, it's really not. And, you know, I want to make first the distinction that I think John made, and I appreciate his comments, is a good job, a good paying job has benefits. Isn't, you know, it's family sustaining. You know, we see so many Wisconsinites working 2-3 jobs, hustling, driving Uber, doing all of these things. Like that, we want a good job where you can go, you know, for a certain amount of hours a day, and then you go home to your family and you're able to be there. And, you know, of course, there are going to be jobs that are nighttime jobs and things like that, but you shouldn't have to have multiple jobs in order to make ends meet. And that's where, you know, I agree with John, like good jobs is really important. And often those good jobs come, you know, in larger amounts from bigger companies. And so going and having conversations and bringing those companies to Wisconsin is important. Supporting our entrepreneurs that might grow their business into a business that hires 200 or 300 people, amazing. We need to do that too. So it's an all in. We used to say and still say we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And that meant we can work with the big businesses and we can work with the small businesses.
Yeah, and we have to. And you have a track record. And I love this title, the Main Street Bounce Back Program. This was something really visionary that you created by just connecting the dots. People want to start small businesses. There are all these empty storefronts. Put them together. How did you make it happen?
I want to add one piece to that too, which is there were existing businesses that were next to empty storefronts. So those businesses were really the one I was watching because I thought, you know, they're not going to survive if they have empty spaces all the way next to them. So we made it work in a way that worked for businesses. So we had a $10,000 grant. And we said to communities, if you have empty spaces, find a business to fill it, and we will give you that $10,000 for the business to renovate the space, to do payroll. We left it completely open to how the businesses would spend those dollars. And, you know, the truth is, a business in Wisconsin, especially a small business, will stretch that dollar as far as it can go. Mm-hmm. So I had no concerns that those dollars were going to get spent well. We ended up having over 9,500 businesses in all 72 counties go into empty spaces and start their businesses. So these are hairdressers that were, you know, running their business out of their garage, or someone who is an artist and wanted to open a gallery, or oftentimes women who saw an opportunity to help their community with doing art or with a yoga studio. All of these incredible different businesses, over 70% of them were opened by women, because women saw the opportunity to have that $10,000 and not risk their family's savings. But amazing women going in and having this experience of opening their own business. The Main Street Bounce Back Program was such a huge success, and I am so proud to have been a part of getting that started and seeing it be successful all over the state.
I want to emphasize that you said over 70% of these small businesses were run by women, and also that you allowed them the freedom to be able to operate the way that they needed to operate their business in their environment, because they know best.
For sure. A business knows best what they need. And same for communities. You know, we should be thinking about making sure we're getting those resources into the hands of people who know what needs to happen with those resources.
Absolutely. I am talking with Missy Hughes. She is a candidate for Wisconsin governor and the former head of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation. We've hit on the basics of her campaign and her history of creating jobs and growing Wisconsin's economy. When we return, let's get a little spicy. Most Democrats are attacking Donald Trump right now, but Missy's not. Why not? You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, streaming on the Civic Media app and all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, and in Chicago on AM 820, WCPT Chicago's Progressive Talk. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm talking with Missy Hughes. She's running for governor in Wisconsin in a very crowded field, but she sets herself apart as someone who has experience working on the economy, building businesses, growing jobs. She's the former head of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation, WEDC. We've been talking about her campaign, her background in creating jobs, and let's not forget about the sheep farmer bit. That's good. That's something that sets you apart.
Something.
If you missed any part of our conversation, you can always find it on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can see the video version on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. We would love for you to like, share, comment, ring the bell. Let us know what you think. All right, back to business. Missy, if I'm a voter listening in Wisconsin right now and I'm thinking there are 8 Democrats running for Wisconsin governor, they're all promising jobs, they're all promising investment in public education, they're all promising health care, other than the sheep farming, what is it that makes you special and unique?
Well, I think it's really focused on that word that you used, Kristen, promise. I'm not making empty promises about solving things across the state, whether it's housing or childcare. I can point to actual impact that I have had to make those changes and to make those differences around the state. And, you know, we talked earlier about this idea that I'm not a politician. I am loath to make promises that you would hear coming out of politicians' mouths about, you know, how they're going to save the world or do something else. I'm going to provide practical solutions for Wisconsin that I've already shown we've done in different communities all around the state, whether it's for housing or supporting childcare, creating jobs. We've done the work and I've seen the formulas and the recipes for success. I want to repeat those again and again. I want to reinvest Wisconsin's taxpayer dollars back into our communities and really make a difference. And, you know, I really struggle with this, you know, big promises. I'm listening to Wisconsinites. I'm hearing what they're concerned about, and I have ideas for solutions, and I want to share those ideas. I want to get feedback, and then I want to act and make things happen.
Hey, and another thing that you are not doing is jumping on the bandwagon to attack Donald Trump. I think that is something that Democrats quickly go to because it's effective, because he's polarizing, because he's not polling well. And I understand why they do it, but that is not your strategy. Why?
Well, it's a couple things. We mentioned earlier, I grew up in New York. So I kind of grew up with Donald Trump in my, you know, in my news cycle for a long time. And he feeds off of energy. He feeds off of negative energy. And I feel very strongly about not giving more energy. And, you know, even if it's anytime you're talking about him, I feel like he's like, nom, 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 like a Pac-Man, you know, eating that and getting that energy.
Right,
I'm sorry. It was true. Pac-Man's back in. It's cool again.
It's cool.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like a dumpster fire, right? And I'm just not going to put more fuel into the dumpster fire. I'm looking past Donald Trump to say, okay, you know, what's next? How do we put ourselves on our best foot forward for that moment? Because there is going to be a moment when Donald Trump is no longer our president, and we need to be strong and on both feet as a state to be able to move forward and move past this moment in time as quickly as possible. That means to me having a strong economy, investing in our schools, investing in Wisconsinites. Like, we have to make those core investments now so that we are continuing some momentum and can move even faster once he's gone and done with these crazy policies that are holding us back.
But Missy, that's not sexy. And that's one of the problems of running for office, because you run and you've got a campaign and you're getting people's attention because we live in an attention economy, but then you have to actually be able to do the job. And you have demonstrated over and over that you can do the job, but can you capture the attention piece without being the attack person and being the person who takes a specific side and is willing to say, you know what, let's wait and see how that rolls out? Or in particular, when it came to reproductive rights, for example, in a previous interview, the interviewer tried to hold you down to a certain gestational age limit, to a certain thing. And you said, you know what, this is really between a patient and her doctor. And it's really so much more than just a black and white. It is, there is a continuum, and you understand that because you come from experience.
Yeah, you know, I think that when I talk to Wisconsinites, it actually gets their attention that I'm not attacking Donald Trump. They're like, oh, that's different. Thank you. You know, when my launch video launched and I didn't have Donald Trump in there, people were like, thank you. My neighbors and my neighbors of my neighbors voted for Donald Trump. I'm not going to call them names. I'm not going to say that they're extremists or they're, you know, all the other names that are being called. I don't even want to say it because I want to bring them back. I want to bring them back into the conversation. And if I call them names, they're not going to want to be a part of what my candidacy is about. When I walk into communities and sit down at tables with community leaders, nobody's like, who's wearing a blue shirt? Who's wearing a red shirt? I walked into plenty of red communities wearing Governor Evers, you know, I'm a Governor Evers appointee. Nobody cared. They were like, how are you going to help us get something done? We want to build a playground. We want to renovate a theater. We want to, you know, take care of this dilapidated building. How can we get that done? And they all looked at each other that way too. Like, it's not a fight. It's a how do we get things done conversation. And so I feel very strongly that my brand of approaching how you get things done without fighting, without calling names, is actually way more interesting and will get way more attention than the, you know, the noise. Like, you know how the noise is? You just tune out.
Mm-hmm. And it's sustainable. And it's what you really need in order to be able to do the job. So there is an issue that spans both parties. I wouldn't even call it a bipartisan issue. I would call it a nonpartisan issue. Data centers. Mm. And this is a really big deal right now in Wisconsin. We're seeing these data centers. We're seeing they want to use our natural resources, our water. We need the business. We need the industry. That's your background. So how do you balance the environmental impact with the need for business growth?
Here's the first thing. If anybody takes anything away from this conversation about data centers, here's what I would say. We have leverage in these conversations. These data centers want to be here in Wisconsin. Couple reasons why. It's cold. And because it's cold, it costs a lot less to cool down the data servers and do that. So, you know, they are really excited about being here. Land is not as expensive as it might be in Texas or in Arizona. And we have a strong electrical, you know, utility grid that they want to access. So when you have leverage like that, you got to sit down with these companies and you got to say, okay, how are we going to be good partners? Because if you want to come here, we need to partner and take care of things like our environmental concerns. We want to understand full transparency on what you're planning on doing with water. And we want to make sure that you're protecting our ratepayers and that the price of our utilities is not going to go up. I've been at the table for those conversations. I've worked with the companies, whether they are data center companies or other big companies coming here with big projects. And you need to have someone who understands those negotiations, who understands the give and take. I grew up becoming a lawyer as a deal maker, not a deal breaker. So I'm going to sit down with these companies and negotiate a fair and equitable plan that protects Wisconsin. I did it with Foxconn. I renegotiated that whole contract. I've negotiated a number of other contracts on behalf of the state with big companies. I know when to sit down and when to work with somebody and when to say, okay, you're not actually a good partner. I don't think this is going to work out.
I'm talking with Missy Hughes. She is a candidate for Wisconsin governor and the former head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. It's easier to say the acronym, WEDC. Sure. One other hot topic, Missy, marijuana legalization. We're the only state that hasn't. There are social perspectives on this. There are economic perspectives. There are a lot of different ways to view this issue. Do you support it and why?
Well, we're definitely an island. Everybody around us has, you know, as you said, legalized it. I am pro legalization. I want to do it smartly. I want to look at other states that have done it and say, how are you doing this in a way that creates a really good marketplace, that creates a marketplace that works for the consumers of marijuana? But also, how do we protect young people? How do we make sure that there's good education around this? You know, I think that we've seen in some states, I really fear what's happening to young people in some states who are exposed to incredibly strong marijuana. And, you know, not, I'll date myself, not the, you know, the ditch weed from a long time ago. It's like the real stuff, right? And so I think we have an opportunity to legalize marijuana in Wisconsin by looking at other states. Who did that really well? Whose system do we admire and replicating that here in Wisconsin? I think that's really key as we go forward in that conversation. But obviously, there's a lot of opportunity for revenue, and it'd be, you know, we're giving it away to our neighbors right now. So we might as well figure out how to do it, but we got to do it smart.
We do. I worry about that too as an OBGYN doctor, because sometimes I'll see my pregnant patients come in and they're trying to treat their nausea and they're using marijuana. Sure. And it's not safe, but they don't know. So there's a huge educational component that needs to go along with it. It's not just as simple as turning a light switch on.
Yeah, my brother's a cardiologist, and he has concerns around, you know, your heart and prolonged usage of marijuana. So there's a lot we don't know. There's, you know, obviously a huge amount of damages from alcohol and opioids. So, you know, we just have to try and be as thoughtful as we can be.
I'm so glad you mentioned alcohol, because when I was looking at your campaign page, it says, one of your platform pieces, allow for families to pay for childcare, healthcare, and have a bit left over for T-ball registration and a beer. So here's my question. What kind of beer?
Oh,
I put you on the spot.
I mean, Spotted Cow, I think.
Of course, Spotted Cow.
Although there's a new beer out of Hillsboro that I've been having. So, you know, out here, there's a Czech population in Hillsboro that makes pretty incredible beer. So
I've been to Hillsboro and I love that place. It is such a little oasis in the middle of all of this farming country. It is beautiful. The beer is amazing.
And a great example of where a little bit of resources can help turn around the main street. So we helped. There was an empty furniture store. We turned that into a fitness center. And then there was an empty restaurant and a Nicaraguan family moved in there and now has an amazing restaurant in the middle of Hillsboro. Like, who would think? But that's, and now Main Street in Hillsboro is vibrant.
It has to be so satisfying to see these small businesses and the people who are running them in your own community and to know, hey, I helped with that. I was part of that.
I give all the credit to them. I helped a little bit, but I'm it's so incredibly brave to start a small business. It's so, you know, it's such a tremendous thing to do and to be willing to put yourself out there like that. Like, I just think Wisconsin small business people are incredible.
Yeah. Well, we are because we're Wisconsinites, you know. We've got one more segment ahead of us. So when we get there, let's talk a little bit about healthcare because it's a problem all across the country, but there are things that we can do specifically here in Wisconsin to improve things for Wisconsinites. Medicaid expansion might be one of them.
Expansion, Medicaid, expansion.
Yes. But and there will be a fun little quiz. I've got a Wisconsin quiz for you. So Okay. Stay tuned through this break. Friends, I'm talking with Missy Hughes. She is a candidate for Wisconsin governor and the former head of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation. You've heard all about her background, her vision, and what sets her apart from the other 7 Democrats running in this very crowded field. She is a trailblazer, but how well does she know Wisconsin? We'll find out. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, streaming on the Civic Media app and all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and in Chicago on AM 820 WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and I'm here with Missy Hughes. She's running for governor in Wisconsin. She's also the former head of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation, WEDC. She's been talking about, well, herself, because I invited her to do that, and her campaign and what sets her apart. She's a trailblazer. She was the first woman to run WEDC, and when elected, I'll say when, she'll be the first woman who is the governor of Wisconsin. We've only had men. Missy, what does that feel like?
You know, when I think of being the first woman governor, I think about being the first mother, the first sister, the first sister-in-law, the first daughter, you know, all these other roles that you have as a woman and how you can bring your experience. You know, that's experience that no one who's ever sat in the governor's seat before has had. And so understanding, you know, what it means to raise children, understanding what it means to take care of your elders and your parents, understanding, you know, how you interrelate with your brothers. I have 5 brothers and your sister. You know, there's just all these other perspectives that you bring that have never been in that seat before. And it'd be so exciting to see what you can kind of shake up with that.
5 brothers. That helps me understand.
Yes. And the youngest of 7.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So Wisconsin question. Are you ready?
Okay.
If you could have lunch with any Wisconsin governor and pick their brain about one challenge, who would it be and what would you talk about?
Well, the Wisconsin governor that I would most like to meet is Governor Rusk. And the reason I would most like to meet him is because he was from Viroqua. And I would love to know, you know, years and years, I want to say, I wish I knew the year, but, you know, like late 1800s. And to ask him, you know, what do you think about Wisconsin? What do you think the challenges are? What do you think the opportunities are? And understand, you know, from a governor's position over 100 years ago, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't even imagine back in the day, like how much things have changed and how differently it was to lead then compared with now in the modern day. We face so many different challenges.
Well, and I was just having a conversation with someone today about the electricity, artificial intelligence kind of, you know, is it that much? Is AI the same thing as bringing in electricity? And thinking about putting in electrical lines all over the state and, you know, the work that was done by rural electric co-ops to spread electricity and how game-changing that must have been, we're, you know, potentially going to be in the same type of a moment with AI.
And to look back at history and learn from those lessons.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the second quiz. You have to, I know I love this quiz.
You're going to ask me how to pronounce some crazy community.
No, because you know, because you've been in all the counties. So you can say Oconomowoc and Kakana. You've got that down. But if you had to convince somebody to move to Wisconsin and all you had was a place, a food, and an activity, what would you choose? A place, a food, and an activity. You are the small business person, so you know this state. So do not disappoint me.
I wish I knew that. I don't know the name of the place. Well, there's a little place in Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
That makes bratwurst patties. And they're like $1.50 each. And you can get a beer with them. And they are so good. And that would convince me to move to Wisconsin.
What about the activity? Is that all in one thing?
Isn't like eating the patty and drinking the beer the activity?
And for our Chicago listeners, it's on your way to Door County. So just like go to Sheboygan.
Your activity could be watching the incredible surfers off the coast of Sheboygan in Lake Michigan there. It's a huge surfing community.
Don't they call it like the Midwest Maui?
Yeah, I think that's right. But that is a tough question. And the first thing that came to mind for activity and food was a Friday night fish fry. But I didn't quite feel comfortable saying like where, because there's so many different places. And there's supper clubs, there's so many choices.
And a fish fry in Northeast Wisconsin is different than a fish fry in Milwaukee, is different than a fish fry in, you know, Ashland.
Oh my gosh. I took my mom to a fish fry on the shores of the Mississippi, and she, like, for years afterwards was like, that is the best fish. And like, you know, this is an East Coast eat fish all the time type of person. She's like, that's the very best fish I've ever had in my life.
We don't think about the treasures that we have in this state, those of us who live here and vacation here, because we're just used to it. But, you know, you said earlier, the agriculture, the people, the small businesses, there's so much wealth here. We are so rich and so lucky. And Missy Hughes, I am so, so honored that you were willing to join me tonight and share your story. And I wish you the best of luck as you seek the governorship here in Wisconsin.
Thank you. What you just said about Wisconsin is so true. We have so much to be proud of and to look forward to. And that's what I want to bring as governor, that pride and that excitement for the future. Forward.
Forward, sister. All right. I am talking with Missy Hughes. She is a candidate for Wisconsin governor and the former head of Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation. If you have missed any part of our show, you can find it on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can watch it on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. Don't forget to like, subscribe, ring the bell, and comment, because we want to know what you thought about this episode and what you'd like to see in the future. You can also find me on nearly all of the socials, so send me a message and let me know. And I gotta thank my people, like my oldest son, Abe. He is our producer, and he's also so much more. Nick Tierman is our technical advisor. He also composed our theme song and graphic design by Nathaniel Gonzalez. On behalf of our whole team, I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, reminding you to take care of yourself and each other. We will see you next week for a special year in review. It's going to be a blast.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.